The UNICEF Story, a special broadcast featuring 10 stars in honor of the 10th birthday of UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund. Now, here to introduce our story is Miss Celeste Holm.
Thank you. May I present some good friends?
This is Bing Crosby.
My name is Claudette Colbert.
This is Brandon DeWilder.
Greer Garson.
Michel Boyer.
My name is Audrey Hepburn.
Peter Lawford.
My name is Ava Gardner.
This is Danny Kaye.
Now, with this galaxy for UNICEF's 10th birthday, we are going to recall some of the highlights of UNICEF broadcasts in which they starred. As, for example, A Visit with Danny Kaye. Danny Kaye's own universal children's language. But that's a story in itself, which we'll hear later. First, a question. Do you know how many children there are in the world? 900 million. And 2 out of every 3 are hungry, sick, or destitute. That is why, after World War II, their plight moved the United Nations to action. The time, December 11th, 1946.
UN creates UNICEF, United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, to meet requests from governments for assistance to children of the world. First contribution from UNRWA, $550,000. First UNICEF aid, food and clothing to 11 countries of Europe and Asia for 3 million children.
One of these 3 million was a little girl named Jitka Samkova, age 7. She has an admirer, Bing Crosby.
It's like this. She was the youngest of 4 kids. Her father was a sawmill worker in Bohemia. Wasn't much food, not nearly enough to go around until UNICEF came into the picture. They sent tinned meat and milk, and the kids appreciated it. Well, she wanted to say thank you to UNICEF for this food, so she looked around for a way to do it, and she found a way, too. At school, she sat down and she drew a picture. In one corner is the sun, great, big, bright, yellow, happy sun. In the center, there's a big maypole with lots of kids of all nationalities dancing around it, and at the top of the maypole is a wreath. This wreath means that UNICEF helps children all over the world, and this help, like the wreath, is endless.
Yes, Bing. We remember that picture. It was drawn on a piece of broken glass. Little Jitka didn't have any paper. Later, UNICEF was to use this same picture for its first worldwide Christmas card sale, now an annual event. Yes, a little girl who has friends she doesn't even know about. Friends who made news like this in 1947.
First contribution to UNICEF from governments, amount $38 million. First private contribution from pupils of Carson Grade School, State of Washington, amount $2.19. UN Secretary General appoints first executive director of UNICEF, Mr. Morris Pate.
This is Morris Pate speaking. You may have smiled as you just heard the amount of the first private contribution to UNICEF, $2.19. Perhaps you thought this wouldn't go very far. But in human terms, do you know what $2.19 will buy for children in the world? It will buy enough medicine to protect the eyesight of 7 children afflicted with trachoma, a daily glass of U.S. surplus skim milk for a week to 176 children, or enough vaccine to help protect 219 children against tuberculosis. And these are just a few examples out of dozens. Yes, every dollar counts, just as every child counts.
That is why, to me, the real headlines come from news like this.
1948. First allocation for malaria control in Asia. First shipment of UNICEF supplies for refugees in Palestine.
Here is a close-up of one Palestine refugee, as told by Greer Garson. Taking the part of Marie Antoinette Abadi, a UNICEF field worker, Miss Carson tells about a 14-year-old Palestine boy named Farid, as played by Brandon DeWilder.
During the winter months, there had been not one drop of rain in the area. Mothers and children were dependent entirely on UNICEF's milk. But it was powdered milk, you see. And to make it liquid, you needed water. Unless the rains came, UNICEF could no longer help. The people pleaded with me to do something. There, on a hilltop surrounded by olive groves, I was met by the Mukhtar, or chief of the village. He was standing among the village ancients, and at his side stood his son, Farid. The Mukhtar addressed me as if UNICEF were God's substitute. His chant was translated into English by his son, Farid.
My father says there is God in heaven, and here is UNICEF. The only somebodies who can help his village and his people. My father says, you are the father and mother of this village, and you can bring water to his people. My father says, you can speak for this village.
The boy struck me so deeply that I stood mesmerized until his last word had faded through the hills of Galilee. I took the problem immediately to the liaison officer for foreign relief. Water, believe it or not, was added to our UNICEF list of supplies. I would always be haunted by the chant of that 14-year-old boy who expressed such extraordinary faith in the powers of UNICEF and reminded me that man must still search beyond himself for the real miracles.
Greer Garson might have added such everyday UNICEF miracles as these. Dated 1949.
First mass purchase, 100 million pounds of milk. First campaign against tuberculosis in Asia for India. First disaster aid to Latin America, Ecuador earthquake.
And 1950.
UNICEF goes from emergency aid to long-range benefits for children. First anti-tuberculosis campaign and first milk program in Latin America, for Mexico. First assistance for manufacturing antibiotics in Asia, for India. First anti-yaws campaign in Haiti and Indonesia.
Many people have never heard of yaws, Y-A-W-S, yet it cripples millions. UNICEF has a director in Southeast Asia by the name of Spurgeon Keeney, known affectionately to all as Sam. Sam, what's the yaws picture where you are?
Well, yaws in this area, in Indonesia alone, they're examining about 30,000 cases a day, with only a very few doctors supervising the job. This has to be done because there's only one doctor to about 100,000 people, and most of them are in the cities, and the yaws are in the country.
Picture that in your hometown. One doctor for 100,000 people. You know, it's not easy to visualize 100,000 people, as individual human beings, that is. So I'd like you to hear about one Indonesian boy who loved to climb trees, as told by Claudette Colbert.
A boy named Sistrano. And on the boy's legs, something not so lovely. Yaws. A skin disease quite common in hot, humid countries. It's very difficult to climb banyan trees when you have yaws. So Sistrano stopped climbing the trees. Sistrano's father remembered hearing about a small clinic in a nearby village where foreign doctors were doing something about yaws. So he dropped his farming and took his son to this clinic. There they gave Sistrano an injection of penicillin. That's all it took. A few injections at intervals, supplied by the UN's Children's Fund. A short time later, Sistrano's father himself contracted yaws. He went to the clinic. No, not to be treated, not to be cured by UNICEF penicillin. He asked to be used as a guinea pig. He would stay and let the disease develop further so that these doctors could learn more about yaws by studying him. For Sistrano's father, the true property was his readiness to sacrifice for the future. that other children may climb trees and laugh, may be happier and healthier than before.
Cost of penicillin to treat Sistrano's yaws, 5 cents. But you know, even when you have a doctor with his needle of precious penicillin ready, it isn't always easy to induce a child to take the inoculation. Do you know how Indonesia's Department of Health solved the problem? They set up a movie with a Tarzan picture. The price of admission? 1 shot in the arm. In this work, sometimes one has to be a Sherlock Holmes, too. For The Case of the Missing Patients, here is Peter Lawford.
Bandung, the capital city of West Java in Indonesia. A picturesque place. But there was a criminal at large, a very dangerous criminal. Goes by the initials TB. Tuberculosis for long. And he's not content to keep to himself. He spreads, infects one person after another. And there were the people in Bandung who showed signs of having tuberculosis. The patients. With some of these patients would walk into the control center. They would be x-rayed. They would be examined and found to be infective. They would be posted for home treatment. They would leave their addresses. They would walk out. To disappear. The TB control project searched for them everywhere. These patients were carrying TB. They must be found. The trouble was the address system in Bandung. In some parts of the city, there were no street directories. Houses were numbered any which way or not even numbered at all. Who could find a missing patient if you couldn't find his address? Who could find an address in Bandung? Of course, the mailman. Mailmen know addresses. It's their business. So that's what the TB control project did in Bandung. Went to the postal authorities. And out with the doctor and the nurse went the merry mailman.
And that was Peter Lawford's little miracle. The mailman who helps cure TB. His mailbag might have also carried letters like these. Postmark 1951.
First assistance for manufacturing anti-malaria DDT in Asia, Pakistan. First UNICEF disaster relief in Asia. Volcano eruptions, Philippines.
Unlike the sudden spurt of a volcano, UNICEF aid was now going out in a steady stream. Governments requesting this assistance were not only matching UNICEF funds, but giving double and more. The supply was great, but the demand was even greater. This was a race for lives. In 1952...
First UNICEF aid to Africa, south of the Sahara. Malaria, yaws, nutrition. First trachoma treatments for Morocco and Tunisia.
1953...
First program for control of leprosy, Nigeria. UNICEF no longer temporary, but continuing part of UN. New name, United Nations Children's Fund.
However, the nickname UNICEF remained, because by now, in every corner of the earth, UNICEF was recognized as the name of a friend. In many places, children didn't ask for a glass of milk. They asked for a glass of UNICEF. Here is one of the nicest stories about milk I've ever heard. We learned about it from a UNICEF worker in Nicaragua, Alice Schaefer. Telling Miss Schaefer's story is Miss Audrey Hepburn.
About a year ago, I flew down to Nicaragua. It was a wonderful day, bright, blue, sunshiny. The Minister of Health met me at the airport, and he had a twinkle in his eye. He said, "Miss Schaefer, I've a surprise for you, but we have to hurry. Can't be late." The minister was leading me through an archway into a large outdoor court. Very formally, the minister introduced me. "Boys and girls, this is Miss UNICEF in person." Children clapped and yelled and made me feel as famous as a movie star. But that wasn't all. Every child in that huge courtyard, and there were many, started to sing. It was a song they'd written especially for UNICEF. Let me try to translate it for you. With UNICEF milk, we are so healthy, no children are dying. The devil is worried because now he doesn't get any little souls anymore. Then the Minister of Health leaned over to me. The twinkle was still there. He said, "Today is UNICEF's birthday, and we wanted to have a party. There isn't a cake with candles, but there's something else instead. You know what I mean." I knew.
Yes, Audrey Hepburn, I think we know too. Like a letter UNICEF received from Manila saying, "I am ignorant to write, but my heart is thanking." Did you ever try picturing something in your mind's eye? Try this one. If the cups of milk that UNICEF has served so far to mothers and children were placed side by side, they would circle the earth 30 times. And that's only one item, milk. How about the other things that youngsters must have to live? For the answer, here's a true short story that was radioed from the spot where it happened. It will be described for you by Charles Boyer.
Across the Middle East is Iraq, where the biblical Garden of Eden is thought to have been located. Today, many of its people suffer from malnutrition. Iraq's capital is ancient Baghdad, and there doctors and nurses of the United Nations do their work without time off. No holidays there.
This is the waiting corridor of the Sheikh Omar Clinic in Baghdad. This is the treatment room where a mother with an infant son is learning how to put drops in its eyes. As a result of this treatment, this child will perhaps be saved from blindness.
Vitamins, medicines, supplied by UNICEF. Out there, UNICEF is blessed and remembered in many ways. Streets, villages, even children are named UNICEF.
That clinic in Iraq is just one of 10,000 in the world UNICEF has assisted. Charles Boyer spoke of children's blindness and UNICEF efforts to help save sight. Cost of treating a child for sight-destroying trachoma, 30 cents. It's sad enough for a child not to be able to see the wondrous world around him, but what confused thoughts must go through a child's mind when he can see in the daytime but is blind at night? The answer to this is the first letter of the alphabet, but that's a story you'll hear now from Ava Gardner.
The real star of the story is a boy named Jose Santos. He lives in the Philippines on the island of Luzon. And until just a short while ago, Jose never went out after dark. The reason was that for Jose, the darkness was really dark. Jose had night blindness. Now, while the sun was up, Jose could see just as well as the rest of the boys. But when the sun went down and darkness came, nothing. From outside his hut, he could hear his friends playing. But all the beautiful sights that come to Luzon after nightfall were unknown to Jose. UNICEF, the Children's Fund of the United Nations, reached out toward that remote corner of Luzon where Jose lived. Among many things, item one was milk for the children while at school. Item two, capsules, shark liver oil capsules, one of which Jose had every noon with his school lunch. They tasted like nothing at all, just gulp and they were down. But they were rich in vitamin A, and vitamin A is what is needed to correct night blindness. Well, after about 2 months, Jose was in the middle of a baseball game. It was after school. It was late. The sun was going down. But Jose could see. Suddenly he could see as well as anyone else. That night, he came home after dark. He ran home. The curtain of night darkness had lifted. He could see the fireflies and he could see the moon and the stars. There were stars he'd never seen before. Darkness was gone and Jose felt so tall that he could almost reach out and touch the stars.
Here's a P.S. to Ava Gardner's story of Jose, the night-blind boy. In the Middle East is the convent Dame de Nazareth, where UNICEF has been supplying homeless and physically handicapped orphans with food and medicine. Today, in the kindergarten classroom, is a touching thank you to UNICEF for curing them of their night blindness. Out of bits of cardboard, cloth, and colored stones is a 10-inch-high doll, which they have named Mademoiselle UNICEF. Mademoiselle UNICEF, I might add, was created by 2 to 5-year-olds. But what of those who don't even reach that tender age? A doctor in Asia told us...
A large number of children in this part of the world die in their very first year. At least half of them die in the first 5 years.
So, where there are no doctors to deliver babies who'll have a chance to grow up, UNICEF is helping to train midwives. UNICEF has even made up a sort of traveling maternity service, a midwife's kit, which is presented as a diploma on completion of special training. There are some 250 million children in this area of the world. That is one of the reasons why, without regard for nationality, race, creed, or politics, UNICEF supplies, carried by ship, jeep, muleback, camel, even bicycle, travel each day the distance of 3 times around the globe, and around the clock and the calendar, as recorded in 1954.
First mass treatment of eye disease, trachoma, in Asia, Taiwan. First UNICEF community sanitation project, Burma. UNICEF appoints ambassador at large.
His Excellency, Danny Kaye. Among many other qualifications, Danny's genius for clowning, which has endeared him to millions of children, inspired UNICEF to appoint him ambassador at large, with the mission of flying around the world to investigate and report to you the needs of the world's children. The miles of color film taken on this trip resulted in a movie called Assignment Children. Translated into over 20 languages, it has since been seen by 96 million people. Throughout Southeast Asia, his first port of call, Danny not only observed UNICEF operations, but cavorted with the kids he met. In India, Danny Kaye saw a campaign against tuberculosis conducted by UNICEF with the government and World Health Organization. UNICEF cooperates with other UN agencies. Cost per child for BCG vaccine to protect against TB, 1 cent. After India, where did you go, Danny?
We went to Burma, in Rangoon, where we did the malaria program and the child and maternal welfare.
Malaria kills one person every 14 seconds. A disease that every year lays low 250 million people and causes an annual loss of 60,000 million work hours. No work equals poverty. In contrast, health means wealth. Example.
6 acres of land in Afghanistan once sold for $1. Today, the same land is worth $2,000. Reason? No malaria.
Annual cost per person for DDT to defeat malaria? 13 cents. After Burma, Danny went to
Thailand, where we did the YAWS program. We went from Thailand to Hong Kong, where I did the UNICEF equipment in hospitals. From Hong Kong, we went to Tokyo. We did film on some kids who were brought up in orphanages that were run by UNICEF or under the supervision of UNICEF. From Tokyo, we went to Korea. In Korea, we did some emergency milk feeding. And it was quite a contrast. We were there a couple of years ago during the war. So I started in New York and made the complete circle around the world and came home by way of Honolulu.
In time for news like this, in 1955.
First large-scale project to wipe out malaria. Mexico. UNICEF ambassador at large undertakes second mission to Europe, introducing film Assignment Children.
1956.
Total number of countries and territories assisted by UNICEF to date, 113. Total number of children helped, over 100 million. UNICEF ambassador on third mission, to Europe, the Mediterranean, and Africa.
Total distance traveled for UNICEF by Ambassador K, 100,000 miles. Effect on children, 100 million smiles. To UNICEF's milk, food, clothing, medicines, a new dimension was added. Good cheer and encouragement. And what were Danny's own reactions to all this?
There's been something that's happened on this trip that has given me a great deal to think about and a great deal to remember. This whole operation is, I think, one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. Well, of necessity, what I've mentioned here is actually just a small fraction of what UNICEF is doing for the children all over the world. It has been my personal good fortune to see firsthand part of the UNICEF true story. It's staggering, you know. It encompasses such scope. It's kind of breathtaking.
Yesterday, today, and now, the days ahead. Perhaps Dr. Balachandra Rajan of India, chairman of UNICEF's 26-nation executive board, can give a glimpse of tomorrow.
UNICEF has been privileged to aid millions of children throughout the world, but there are still hundreds of millions who need help. UNICEF does not aim to do the whole job, but it does hope to lend initial assistance to many countries so that they, in turn, may be enabled to build their own resources.
To the men and women who carry through UNICEF's mission, to the doctors and nurses, to the governments, the organizations, and individuals whose technical help and voluntary contributions make the work possible, and especially to all the children of the world, this UNICEF story is dedicated.
My name is Tilu. I'm 5 and a half. I saw boys and girls who were hungry. United Nations Children's Fund gives them a glass of milk, helps them get well, gives them medicine so they don't get sick too much.
The UNICEF Story, a special anniversary broadcast for the United Nations Children's Fund, featured 10 stars for 10 UNICEF years. In highlights of their broadcast for UNICEF were Bing Crosby, Greer Garson, Brandon DeWilde, Claudette Colbert, Peter Lawford, Audrey Hepburn, Charles Boyer, Ava Gardner, and Danny Kaye. Our narrator was Celeste Holm. The UNICEF Story was written and produced by Jeff Sparks. This is a transcribed feature production of United Nations Radio.